If you think you know the person you sleep beside each night, think again. Ben always believed in second chances. He fell for Emily's soft laughter, her shy smile, and the way she seemed so untouched by the world's darkness. Their love was the kind you see in old movies. Sweet, gentle, the sort that feels safe even on the stormiest nights. But one message changed everything. A stranger's DM led Ben to a corner of the internet he never meant to find. A glowing screen, a familiar laugh, and Emily, stripped of every lie she'd ever told him. Camgirl, porn actress, social media puppet master. She wasn't the girl next door, she was the show the whole neighborhood watched. But when Ben tried to escape, Emily twisted the truth, threatening to expose his deepest secrets to the world. So if you think you've heard it all, you haven't. Hit follow on your favorite platform and leave us a comment, because the next story might just change the way you see everything. Don't miss a single twisted turn. Chapter 1. The Girl Next Door. Ben had always been a man who believed in the quiet goodness of ordinary life. He grew up in a small town where people nodded at each other in the street and no one locked their doors at night. Maybe that was why, even after he moved to the city, he looked for signs of innocence in the people around him. He didn't want drama. He wanted peace. He met Emily on a rainy Thursday afternoon in the kind of place where stories like his were supposed to begin, a corner bakery that smelled of cinnamon and sugar, where steam fogged up the windows and strangers shared cramped tables without complaint. Ben was hunched over a laptop, scrolling through work emails, when he noticed her. She had the kind of face you remembered, not because it was extraordinary, but because it was open and kind. Her hair was tucked behind her ear, her eyes soft and curious. She laughed when the barista got her name wrong, said thank you with a little wave, and took her tea to the only empty chair in the bakery, right across from Ben. They struck up an easy conversation. She asked about the book he was reading, I Love Old Mysteries, told him she was new to the city. My roommate bailed, so now it's just me and my cat in a tiny apartment. And listened when he talked about work, about missing home, about wanting something more. Emily was sunlight after a long winter. That was how Ben described her to friends when they asked how things were going. She was the girl next door, the kind you trust without thinking twice. They exchanged numbers, promising to meet again. The first few weeks were a gentle slide into something Ben had almost stopped believing in. Dates at coffee shops, lazy Sunday afternoons spent watching old movies, walks in the park where Emily would skip ahead and turn, laughing, daring him to chase her. He felt young in a way he hadn't since college. Unguarded, almost foolishly hopeful. His friends noticed the change. She's good for you, man, Dave said one night over beers. You're actually smiling again. Even Ben's mother, a woman with opinions sharp enough to cut steel, approved. She met Emily over video chat, and by the end of the call was insisting they come home for Thanksgiving. She's a keeper, Benny. Don't mess this up. Emily slid into his life like she'd always belonged there. She liked her coffee sweet and her books old. She wore oversized sweaters in winter, hummed when she cooked, and never seemed to be in a hurry. Sometimes Ben wondered if it was all too good to be true. But every time she smiled at him across a crowded room, he let himself believe that good things really could last. And yet, even in those first golden months, there were shadows lurking just beyond the light. Small things. Emily was careful with her phone, always keeping it close, screen down. She said she didn't like social media, but her Instagram, private, minimal, was full of sunsets, coffee cups, and carefully filtered selfies. Harmless, Ben thought. Maybe she was just private. But some nights, she'd be gone for hours. Volunteering, she said. Or yoga class ran late. She never invited Ben along. If he pressed, she would laugh, tousle his hair, and say, "You wouldn't enjoy it. It's all just gossip and downward dog." Ben wanted to trust her, so he did. It was on a Friday night in late October that he first felt the cold edge of doubt. The rain was coming down in sheets, drumming against the windows, when Emily came home long after dark. Her hair was damp, her cheeks flushed. She was jumpy, more than usual. "Sorry I'm late," she said, kissing him on the cheek. "Lost track of time." He tried to brush it off, but she was distant all evening, scrolling through her phone, responding to messages Ben couldn't see. When he asked who she was talking to, she smiled and said, "Abby from yoga." But Ben noticed something odd. The contact's name on her screen wasn't Abby. He recognized it as a local delivery service. He wanted to ask, but the words died in his throat. Instead, he watched her from across the room, wondering if he was just being paranoid. The next morning, Emily was gone before Ben woke up. A note on the fridge, her handwriting neat and looping, said, "Late volunteer shift, coffee with the girls, love you." He read it twice, trying to feel reassured. But something felt off. Ben decided to keep himself busy. He went for a run, picked up groceries, tried to lose himself in errands, but his mind kept circling back to Emily. He checked her Instagram. Still private, still carefully curated, still nothing out of the ordinary. When she got home, Emily was her old self again. She laughed at his jokes, cooked dinner, curled up next to him on the couch. If there was something wrong, she was hiding it well. But over the next few weeks, the pattern repeated. Emily would disappear for hours, always with a ready excuse. She'd get defensive if Ben asked too many questions. Sometimes he'd wake in the middle of the night to find her sitting in the kitchen, staring at her phone, the screen casting eerie shadows across her face. One night, curiosity got the better of him. Emily was asleep, her phone buzzing with notifications. Ben reached for it, but it was locked. He knew her passcode, her birthday, but it didn't work. He lay awake until morning, the glow of the streetlights making strange patterns on the ceiling. He wanted to trust her. He needed to. But something was wrong. Emily began to pull away, becoming more elusive with each passing week. Their conversations grew shorter, her laughter more strained. She no longer left her phone unattended, and her laptop was always closed, password protected. Ben started to doubt himself. Maybe he was the problem. Maybe he was too insecure, too controlling. He tried to make it up to her. Flowers, surprise dates, even a weekend trip to the coast. For a little while, things seemed better. Emily relaxed, let her guard down. She even let Ben take pictures of her on the beach, her hair blowing in the wind, eyes shining in the golden afternoon light. But the next morning, she deleted every photo from his phone while he was in the shower. "I looked weird," she said, forcing a smile. "You know I hate pictures." Ben didn't argue. He was afraid of pushing her away. Thanksgiving came and went. They visited his family, ate too much, played board games with his nephews. Emily was charming, sweet, the perfect girlfriend. His mother hugged her tight, whispering, "Don't let him get away with anything, honey." But as soon as they got back to the city, Emily seemed to unravel. She was anxious, jittery, snapping at Ben for small things. She stopped cooking, stopped laughing. She'd spend hours locked in the bathroom, music blasting to drown out the world. One night, after another silent dinner, Ben tried to talk to her. "Is everything okay?" he asked, voice gentle. Emily stared at him for a long moment, then burst into tears. "I'm just tired, Ben. Work is stressful. I'm sorry." He held her until she fell asleep, her breathing ragged and uneven. He told himself it was just a rough patch, that every couple went through hard times. But deep down, he knew this was different. It all came to a head one freezing night in December. Ben woke to the sound of voices. Emily, speaking softly in the kitchen. He crept down the hall, heart pounding. Through the crack in the door, he saw her on a video call, her face lit up by the screen, her tone playful and flirtatious. He couldn't hear what she was saying, but the way she touched her hair, the way she smiled, it wasn't the Emily he knew. When she noticed him, she snapped the laptop shut, anger flashing across her face. "What are you doing up?" she snapped. "Couldn't sleep," Ben said, trying to keep his voice steady. She glared at him, then stormed off to bed, leaving the laptop on the table. Ben stared at it, wanting to know the truth, afraid of what he might find. He didn't sleep that night. He sat in the dark, listening to Emily breathe, his mind spinning with questions he couldn't ask. He remembered the early days, the laughter, the hope, the promise of something real. He wondered where that girl had gone. The next morning, Emily was gone. No note, no explanation. Just an empty bed, and a lingering sense of dread. Ben called Dave, needing to hear a familiar voice. "Hey man, everything okay?" Dave sounded half awake. "I don't know," Ben admitted. "Things are weird with Emily." "Want to talk about it?" Ben hesitated. How could he explain what he couldn't even understand? "It's like she's hiding something?" "I don't know. Maybe I'm just being paranoid." Dave chuckled. "You worry too much, Benny. She loves you. You said it yourself." "Yeah," Ben said. But the words felt hollow. When Emily came home later that day, she acted like nothing had happened. She kissed Ben, laughed at his dumb jokes, made dinner like she used to. For a moment, he let himself believe everything would be okay. But that night, after she'd fallen asleep, Ben lay awake, staring at the ceiling, haunted by the feeling that he was living with a stranger. He tried to shake it off, to focus on work, on his friends, on anything but the growing distance between them. But the harder he tried, the more isolated he felt. Emily became a ghost in their apartment, present but unreachable, always just out of reach. Ben started to dread coming home. The air in the apartment felt heavy, suffocating. He missed the days when love was simple, when Emily's smile was enough to banish the shadows. Now, every glance, every silence, every unanswered question felt like a warning. He began to wonder if he ever really knew her at all. One cold January morning, Ben woke to find Emily gone, her side of the bed cold, her phone missing, her laptop gone from the desk. He searched the apartment, panic rising in his chest, but she was nowhere to be found. He sat on the edge of the bed, head in his hands, and realized that the girl next door, the girl he'd fallen in love with, might never have existed. All he had left was the echo of her laughter, the ghost of a smile, and a single haunting question. Who was Emily, really? Chapter 2. Cracks in the Facade. Ben had always prided himself on being calm under pressure, the guy friends called when things fell apart. At work, he fixed problems before they became disasters. With Emily, he wanted to believe everything could be solved if he just listened, if he just loved her a little harder. But now, no matter how much he tried, the pieces wouldn't fit. The weeks after that strange video call were a blur. Emily's moods became unpredictable. One moment affectionate, the next distant, snapping at Ben for reasons she wouldn't explain. Her absences grew longer. Her excuses became thinner. Yoga classes that stretched into midnight. Volunteer work on weekends that left her exhausted and moody. Sometimes she came home with expensive new clothes, or shoes she insisted were on ridiculous sale. Ben tried to tell himself this was just how life got sometimes. Everyone went through rough patches. Maybe Emily was overwhelmed. Maybe she was lonely in a city where friends came and went so quickly. He tried to be present. He left notes in her coat pockets. He made her favorite meals. He bought her a set of old detective novels because she once told him she loved them as a kid. But every kindness felt like tossing a pebble into a bottomless well. Emily would smile, thank him, and then drift away, her attention always pulled elsewhere. One Saturday morning, Ben suggested they go to the farmer's market. It was something they'd done in the early days, wander through the rows of fresh produce, sample honey and bread, laugh about trying weird new vegetables. Emily hesitated, then agreed, but her smile didn't reach her eyes. At the market, Ben tried to recapture the old magic. He made jokes about the size of the carrots, challenged Emily to pick out the weirdest fruit. She laughed, once briefly, but kept glancing at her phone, her thumb dancing over the screen. Eventually, she wandered off, promising to meet him by the bakery stall in 10 minutes. Ben stood among the crowds, feeling invisible. When he finally found Emily, she was on the phone, voice low, back turned to him. She ended the call as he approached, shoving her phone into her purse with a forced smile. "Sorry, work stuff," she said. "On a Saturday?" Ben tried to sound light, but suspicion crept into his tone. Emily shrugged, reaching for his hand. "Just some scheduling drama." He squeezed her fingers, searching her face for a sign of the girl he'd fallen for. She looked away. That afternoon, back at their apartment, Emily vanished into the bedroom with her laptop, claiming she needed to catch up on emails. Ben sat in the living room, staring at the wall, the television on mute. The apartment felt smaller than ever, as if the walls were closing in. He wanted to call Dave, to vent his worries, but stopped himself. What could he say? That his girlfriend was acting strange? That he was afraid for reasons he couldn't even articulate? Later, when Emily emerged, she looked tired, her eyes ringed with shadows. Long day? Ben asked. She nodded, collapsing onto the couch. He sat beside her, hesitating before putting his arm around her shoulders. Is everything okay? He tried. You seem far away. Emily was silent for a moment. Then with a sigh, she leaned into him. I'm just tired, Ben. Work's crazy. Life's crazy. I promise, it's nothing you've done. He nodded, holding her close, willing himself to believe her. But something inside him remained unsettled. That night, after Emily fell asleep, Ben lay awake. The steady rise and fall of her breath should have soothed him, but his mind spun. He thought about the missed calls, the late nights, the secrets piling up between them. He remembered the flash of the unfamiliar contact name on her phone, the way she'd deleted photos from his gallery, her sudden anger at being surprised in the kitchen. He tried to tell himself he was overthinking. People needed privacy. Maybe she was just struggling and didn't know how to ask for help. Maybe he was reading too much into every little thing, but the doubt wouldn't leave him alone. Over the next week, Ben paid closer attention. He noticed the way Emily clung to her phone, the new password on her laptop. He caught her checking the time compulsively, as if waiting for something. Sometimes he heard her on the phone late at night, speaking in a hushed voice, always ending the call quickly when he came close. One evening, after another silent dinner, Emily went to take a shower. Her phone buzzed on the kitchen counter. Once, twice, then again and again, as if someone was desperate for her attention. Ben stared at the device, heart racing. He knew he shouldn't look, but something in him snapped. He picked up the phone, but the screen was locked. He tried her old password, then her birthday, then the name of her cat. Nothing worked. He put it down quickly, shame burning in his chest. When Emily returned, wrapped in a towel, she noticed her phone was moved. Her eyes narrowed. Did you touch my phone? She asked, voice cold. Ben shook his head. Just moved it to the side. It kept buzzing. Emily stared at him a moment longer, then turned away, drying her hair. The next morning, she was gone before he woke up. As the days slipped by, Ben's anxiety grew. He became obsessed with finding the truth. He scrolled through her Instagram again and again. Everything was staged, carefully filtered photos, cryptic captions about fresh starts and grateful hearts. He checked the accounts she followed, looking for clues, but found nothing out of place. It was all perfectly normal, too normal. He started paying attention to Emily's routines. She always left at the same times, always had an excuse ready. Yoga, volunteering, errands, book club, friend's birthday, work meetings. She never invited him along, and when he offered to join, she smiled apologetically and said it was just a girl's thing, or really boring, trust me. The more Ben watched, the more he realized how little he knew about Emily's life outside their apartment. He knew her favorite movies, the way she liked her tea, the songs she sang in the shower, but he didn't know her friends. He didn't know where she really went when she left. He didn't know what she did when she was alone. One afternoon, he tried to surprise her at the yoga studio she claimed to visit every Thursday. He waited in the lobby, glancing at his phone, his nerves jangling. When the class let out, a stream of women filed past him, none of them Emily. He checked again, waited another 10 minutes, then finally asked the woman at the front desk if Emily had attended. The woman shook her head. Sorry, I don't recognize the name. Are you sure you have the right studio? Ben left, his heart pounding, shame rising in his throat. He was spying on his own girlfriend. What was wrong with him? That night, Emily came home late, as always. He tried to play it cool, but she was in a prickly mood, snapping at him for leaving dishes in the sink. I've had a long day, Ben. Can you just not? He apologized, tried to make things right, but she slammed the bedroom door and stayed inside for hours. He could hear her talking, low and urgent, through the wall. He wanted to knock, to demand answers, but he didn't know what to say. Instead, he lay on the couch, listening to the city outside, wondering how love could turn so quickly from comfort to confusion. The breaking point came late one Friday night. Emily was out, claiming she had a volunteer shift at a local shelter. Ben stayed home, watching television, nursing a beer, trying to distract himself. But his mind kept circling back to Emily, where she was, what she was doing, who she was with. Around midnight, his phone buzzed. A message from an unknown account on Instagram. No name, no introduction, just a link. Ben hesitated, his thumb hovering over the screen. He knew he shouldn't open it. He knew nothing good ever came from random messages in the middle of the night, but curiosity, fear, and suspicion pushed him over the edge. He tapped the link. The page loaded slowly, the screen filling with color and sound. At first, Ben couldn't make sense of what he was seeing. It was a video, grainy, low-lit, but unmistakable. A woman in a silk robe, her face half hidden behind a lace mask. Her voice was familiar, playful, teasing, intimate. She spoke to the camera as if it were a lover, promising secrets, inviting the audience in. And then, in a flash of laughter, she slipped off the mask. Ben's breath caught in his throat. It was Emily. Her hair was down, her lips painted bright red, her eyes shining. She looked nothing like the shy, quiet girl he knew. In the video, she was bold, seductive, alive in a way Ben had never seen. He watched, numb, as she spoke to her audience, promising private shows, whispering dirty jokes, laughing at their comments. The chat window beside the video scrolled with messages, tips, compliments, requests. Ben's mind reeled. This wasn't some old college mistake. The video was dated last week. Ben closed the window, his hands shaking. He sat in the dark, the blue light of his phone flickering in his palm. Everything he thought he knew about Emily unraveled in an instant. He checked the message again. No explanation, no signature, no hint of who had sent it. Just a single, silent accusation. You don't know who she is. When Emily returned home later that night, Ben was sitting on the couch, staring at nothing. She slipped off her shoes, humming to herself, before noticing the tension in the room. Everything okay? She asked, her tone light, but her eyes sharp. Ben struggled for words. How was volunteering? Emily hesitated. Just a heartbeat, but enough for Ben to notice. It was fine, she said, forcing a smile. Busy. Why? He wanted to scream, to demand the truth, to show her the video and ask how she could lie so easily. But the words caught in his throat. Instead, he nodded, rising to his feet. I'm tired. I'm going to bed. Emily watched him, her expression unreadable. Good night, Ben, she said, her voice soft, almost sad. Ben didn't sleep. He lay awake, staring at the ceiling. The image of Emily on the screen burned into his mind. He thought of all the little lies, the late nights, the secrecy, the fake smiles. He thought of the woman in the video, bold and unashamed, a stranger in his girlfriend's skin. He tried to remember the last time he'd felt truly close to her and realized he couldn't. When morning came, he made coffee, moving through the apartment like a ghost. Emily joined him, moving quietly, eyes downcast. They spoke in half sentences, the air thick with things unsaid. He watched her, trying to reconcile the girl he loved with the woman on the screen. Every laugh, every touch, felt counterfeit. Every word was suspect. The cracks in the facade were widening. Ben knew it was only a matter of time before everything broke wide open. He called Dave, voice raw. Something's wrong, he whispered. Emily, she's not who I thought she was. Dave tried to reassure him, told him to get some sleep, to talk it out. But Ben knew this was beyond talking. He'd seen too much. He spent the rest of the day pacing the apartment, replaying every memory, every moment, searching for the lies he'd missed. That night, as he lay beside Emily in the dark, he realized he was terrified. Not just of losing her, but of discovering who she really was. The truth was out there now, impossible to ignore. Ben knew he couldn't go back. All he could do was wait for the mask to finally fall. Chapter 3. The Mask Slips. For days after seeing the video, Ben walked through life with the sensation of a bomb ticking inside his chest. Each tick was a question he couldn't answer. Each talk, a fear he didn't want to name. Emily moved around their apartment with practiced grace, touching his shoulder, asking about his day, making breakfast, as if nothing in the world had changed. But for Ben, everything had changed. He barely slept. He would lie awake, staring at the dark ceiling, his mind replaying the footage over and over. Sometimes, when he closed his eyes, he'd see not Emily, but the woman from the screen. Her voice lower, her gaze locked on the camera, her smile sly and calculated. Other times he saw her turning to him, mask slipping and asking, "Do you still love me now?" Ben became an expert at pretending. He smiled when Emily looked at him. He responded to her stories, even laughed when she made a joke. Inside, he was a man on a high wire, one wrong step from disaster. Emily was always busy now, always just out of reach. She left early and returned late. Her phone was never more than an arm's length away, even in the shower. When she took calls, she spoke in a low, urgent tone, sometimes locking herself in the bathroom for privacy. If Ben asked what was wrong, she would shrug and say, "Just work. I hate that job. Sorry if I'm moody." Then she'd kiss his cheek and tell him she loved him. At times, Ben wondered if she knew he was onto her. Maybe she could sense the tension in the way he moved, the way he'd pause at the door to their bedroom, listening for clues. Maybe she had noticed the way he never quite met her eyes anymore. But if she did, she gave no sign. The only person Ben could talk to was Dave. He called late one night, voice trembling, needing to say something out loud. "Dave, have you ever felt like you're living with a stranger? Like, really a stranger?" Dave grunted, half asleep. "Man, you're overthinking again. Take her out, talk it out. Don't go all crazy. Girls like their space sometimes, you know." Ben wanted to laugh, but all he managed was a sigh. "Yeah, maybe you're right." But Dave wasn't right. Ben knew he couldn't ignore the truth. He'd seen too much. It was a Tuesday when the second message arrived. Same anonymous account, same silent invitation. This time, it was a link to a different site, a subscription platform. Ben's hands shook as he opened it. There was a paywall, but he didn't need access to see the preview image. Emily, or rather, Ella Noir, her online persona, sitting on a velvet chair in a neon-lit room, looking straight at the camera, mask in her lap, the faintest smirk playing on her lips. The profile was polished and professional. There were hundreds of posts, photos, videos, live session announcements. Ben scrolled through the comments. Hundreds of followers praised Ella for being the perfect fantasy. Sweet one moment, wild the next. Some paid for custom videos. Some sent tips. Some wrote long, desperate messages, hoping for a response. Ben felt sick. He looked at the clock. It was nearly midnight. Emily was in the bedroom, headphones on, laptop open. She claimed she was working on a project for her remote job. Now, Ben knew better. He watched her from the doorway. Her eyes were fixed on the screen, her lips moving in a silent conversation. She glanced up, startled to see him. "Hey," she said, pulling off her headphones. "Couldn't sleep?" Ben shook his head, forcing a smile. "Just thirsty." She watched him for a moment, then turned back to her laptop. He lingered in the kitchen, hands shaking as he poured water into a glass. The walls of the apartment seemed to close in, the silence so heavy it pressed against his skull. For a moment, he considered packing a bag and leaving. But where would he go? What would he say? He sat in the living room, the TV flickering in the background. Every so often he heard Emily's muffled laughter, the low murmur of her voice as she worked. Ben's mind spun. Was she talking to strangers? Performing for them? Was she recording something now, while he sat just a few feet away? The thought made him dizzy. The next morning, Ben decided to act. He waited until Emily left for her volunteer shift at the shelter. He listened for the sound of the elevator, then hurried to her desk. Her laptop was password protected, but Ben remembered her favorite quote. the same one she'd used on her old phone. He typed it in, hands sweating. The screen flickered, then opened. Ben's stomach dropped as he scanned her desktop. There were folders with cryptic names. Clients, promo, archive, scripts. His breath quickened as he clicked through them. He found spreadsheets listing usernames, payments, and dates. He found scripts for shows, lists of custom requests, notes on what each client liked or disliked. There were dozens of videos, some short, some long, all starring Emily in various outfits, sometimes masked, sometimes not. He opened one file at random. Emily's voice filled the room, confident, flirtatious, unrecognizable. She talked directly to the viewer, promising to fulfill their fantasies, laughing at private jokes Ben had never heard before. He closed the file, bile rising in his throat. Digging deeper, he found something else. Messages. Private conversations with clients. Some going back months. The tone shifted from playful to intimate to calculating. Some men begged for her attention. Some offered money for secrets. Some threatened to ruin her if she ignored them. Ben read through one chain of messages, horrified. Emily played each man like a violin, flirting, teasing, drawing out tips and gifts. Sometimes she let them think they were special. Sometimes she was blunt. "It's a job, babe. Don't get attached." She never mentioned Ben. In her online world, she was single, available, and always ready to play. Ben's hands shook as he scrolled further. He found references to blacklist, block, fake names. Emily was careful, meticulous. She kept her identities separate, covering her tracks at every turn. He closed the laptop, heart pounding. He wanted to scream, to break something, to confront her. But when Emily returned, smiling and flushed from the cold, Ben couldn't bring himself to say a word. He watched her unpack groceries, humming softly, pretending to be the woman he thought he knew. He wondered how many other people she pretended for. Ben started keeping notes, scraps of paper hidden in his jacket, reminders in his phone disguised as shopping lists. He needed to make sense of what he was living through. Every day, he added a new observation. Emily's calls at odd hours. The lingerie she'd buy and never wear for him, the way she deleted her browser history every night. He stopped sleeping in their bed, claiming insomnia. Emily shrugged, said she understood, and let him be. Their conversations shrank to essentials. Groceries, bills, the cat's vet appointment. When they did talk, Emily was distracted, her eyes always flickering to her phone, as if waiting for a better offer. Ben tried to reach out to friends, but found himself pulling away. What could he say? That he'd discovered his girlfriend's secret life and was paralyzed by fear and shame? That he was too scared to leave? That he didn't even know who he was anymore? He walked the city for hours, replaying their early days. The bakery, the laughter, the feeling of hope. He wondered if any of it was real. He wondered if he was going crazy. One afternoon, he stopped by the yoga studio again, hoping to catch Emily in a lie. This time, he watched from across the street. She never showed up. Instead, she texted him an hour later. Class was good, grabbing smoothies with the girls. Love you. Ben stared at the message, anger boiling in his chest. That night, the confrontation finally came. They were sitting on the couch, TV on but ignored, each pretending to be interested in their own screens. Emily scrolled through her phone, fingers tapping in rapid bursts. Ben couldn't take it anymore. "Emily," he said, his voice low and shaky, "we need to talk." She looked up, surprised. "About what?" He stared at her, searching for the right words. "About where you go, about what you do, about everything." Emily's expression changed. She put her phone down, leaning forward. "What's this about, Ben?" He swallowed. "I know you're not volunteering. I know you're not going to yoga. I know about Elle Noir. I know what you do online." For a long moment, Emily was silent. Then her face shifted. Fear, then anger, then something icy and unreadable. "How did you find out?" she asked, her tone flat. Ben shook his head. "Does it matter?" She shrugged, her calm unnerving. "It's a job, Ben. It's how I pay the bills. I keep it separate. I never meant for you to find out. Separate, Ben echoed, disbelief sharpening his words. You lie to me every day. You go out there and... And what? She snapped. Make money, survive. Grow up, Ben. The world isn't a bakery and fairy tales. Ben felt the room spin. You could have told me. Emily laughed, a harsh, hollow sound. And what would you have done? Judged me? Left me? Or worse, tried to save me? He was speechless. She leaned in, her eyes hard. Don't pretend you're innocent. You've got secrets too. Ben shook his head, at a loss. This isn't about me. Emily's lips curled into a bitter smile. Isn't it? You're not as clean as you pretend. Those photos you sent me. The things you asked for. Ben felt a chill run through him. He remembered the private messages, the jokes, the fantasies they'd shared. He'd trusted her. He never thought she would use those moments against him. She stood, grabbing her phone. You don't want to play this game, Ben. Trust me. Ben sat frozen as she disappeared into the bedroom, the door slamming behind her. He stared at the blank TV screen, his reflection warped and ghostly. The mask had slipped, but Ben realized something else. Emily had more power than he ever imagined. And now, she knew he was watching. After that night, everything in the apartment shifted. Emily was no longer pretending. She took calls in the open, worked on her laptop at the kitchen table, dressed in ways that made Ben blush. Sometimes she'd pause and glance at him, daring him to say something. She didn't hide the money anymore either. Packages arrived at the door. Clothes, makeup, gadgets. Sometimes she'd open them with a flourish, holding up a lacy bra or a new camera, locking eyes with Ben. This is work, she'd say. Don't like it. There's the door. Ben felt trapped. If he left, what would she do? Would she tell people his secrets? Would she expose the things he'd shared in confidence? Would she ruin his life the way she'd built hers, one click at a time? He started saving money, stashing cash in the lining of his jacket, just in case. He made copies of important documents, backed up his phone, deleted old messages. He thought about telling Dave, but stopped every time. The shame was too heavy. He began researching online, how to erase your digital footprint, how to protect yourself from revenge porn, how to disappear. Every article only made him feel more hopeless. One night, Emily found him reading an article on online blackmail. She smiled, cold and amused. Don't worry, Benny. I'm not done with you yet. Ben felt the blood drain from his face. The mask was gone now, and Ben could see Emily clearly for the first time. She was not the girl next door. She was not a victim. She was a survivor, a manipulator, a woman who used every tool at her disposal. He realized, with a jolt of terror, that he was only just beginning to understand what she was truly capable of. He lay in bed that night, the city noise humming in the distance, and wondered how long he could keep living like this. The mask had slipped. The performance was over. Now, the real game was about to begin. Chapter 4. Confrontation. For days after the mask slipped, the apartment felt like a pressure cooker, with the lid bolted tight. Ben and Emily orbited each other in the tightest of spaces, neither willing to be the first to break. The sun rose and set in silence. Meals were a choreography of avoidance, one in the kitchen, one on the couch, both stealing glances and measuring the other's next move. Ben found himself drifting through his routines as if underwater. At work, he lost track of time, making mistakes, missing meetings. His boss noticed, asking if everything was all right at home. Ben lied, said he was tired, that Emily was stressed, that city life was getting to him. He told himself he could handle it, that he just needed a plan. But every night he came home to a minefield, never knowing when a step would blow everything to pieces. Emily, for her part, seemed liberated by the reveal. No more hiding. No more pretending. She set up a corner of the apartment as her studio, complete with soft lights, blackout curtains, ring light, and stacks of lingerie in clear bins. The props spilled out onto the kitchen table and coffee table. Lipsticks, masks, cables, half-eaten takeout containers, a growing tangle of USB drives and chargers. She no longer hid her work from Ben. Instead, she let it bleed into every part of their lives. He would find scripts for custom content left on the printer, sticky notes with stage directions on the fridge. She took calls in the living room, walking back and forth, her voice low but never hushed enough to keep Ben from hearing fragments. I'll send the file tonight. Sure, let's talk pricing. No, I don't do that. Boundaries, babe. Sometimes she'd glance up and meet Ben's eyes, as if daring him to say something. The first few times he looked away, but gradually the anger inside him boiled higher. He was being erased, rewritten in his own home. He became obsessed with reclaiming some piece of normalcy. He did the dishes, vacuumed, took out the trash, mundane acts that anchored him to a time before everything fell apart. He started sleeping on the couch, the distance between them now a chasm impossible to cross. And then came the messages. It began one evening, after Emily finished a live stream and retreated to the bedroom. Ben was cleaning up when his phone buzzed, an anonymous text from a number he didn't recognize. How's it feel being a cuck? Ben's blood ran cold. He deleted the message, but a second one followed. Check the site. Your girl's famous. He tried to steady his hands as he went online. On Emily's platform, he scrolled through comments. Some users seemed to know about him, mocking, crude, calling him names, speculating about his private life. The details were too close, too personal. Someone had to be leaking information. That night, Ben confronted Emily. He stood in the hallway, heart pounding. Emily was at her desk, editing video, headphones on. He waited until she noticed him. What? She said, taking off the headphones. People are messaging me, Ben said, forcing calm. They know about me. About us. Emily shrugged. Welcome to the internet. People are nosy. Ben clenched his jaw. They know things only you could tell them. Are you talking about me on your shows? Emily's expression cooled. I don't use your name. If someone figured it out, that's not my fault. Besides, half the men on there think I'm single, half think I'm married. It's just part of the act. It's not an act to me, Ben shouted, louder than he intended. Emily flinched, then stood, her posture stiff. Keep your voice down. Or what? Ben challenged. Emily stared at him, her face unreadable. You want to do this now? Fine. You want honesty? Here it is. This is who I am. This is how I make money. I'm not ashamed. I built all this from nothing. If you can't handle it, leave. Ben's hands shook. It's not about the job, Emily. It's the lies. It's the fact that you made me part of your story without my consent. She scoffed. You don't know what you're talking about. He pressed on. I've seen your messages, Emily. The scripts, the lists, the way you talk to those guys. You manipulated me. You're manipulating them. Emily's eyes narrowed. Everyone manipulates Ben. You act like you're better, but you keep secrets too. You snoop. You spy. You play the victim. I never threatened you, Ben shot back. You can't say the same. Emily's lips curled into a sneer. You think you can blackmail me? I've survived worse than you. You want to make this ugly? You'll lose. Ben stared at her, all the love and longing twisted into something sharp and brittle. I just want out, Emily. I want to leave. Emily was silent for a long time. Then she picked up her phone, scrolling for a moment before holding it up. On the screen were messages, private conversations Ben thought were safe. Some were old, some recent, all intimate. You leave, she said, her voice low and cold, and I post these. Everywhere. Your job, your family, your friends. I'll send them all the things you sent me. The videos, the fantasies, everything. I'll ruin you, Ben. Ben's heart stopped. You wouldn't. Emily smirked. Try me. Go ahead. Walk out that door. See what happens. That night, Ben sat on the couch, staring at the floor as Emily worked in the bedroom. His mind raced. Could she really do it? Would she? He remembered the stories he'd read online about revenge porn, about lives destroyed in a single click. He imagined his mother's face, his boss's voice, the humiliation, the shame. He felt trapped, completely, utterly trapped. He could leave, but the price would be total annihilation. Or he could stay, living in this purgatory, watching his life slip away, bit by bit. He tried to think rationally. Maybe Emily was bluffing. Maybe if he called her on it, she'd back down. Or maybe she was as ruthless as she seemed. He weighed his options for hours, the sky outside turning from blue to black to gray. Finally, he texted Dave. Ben, can you talk? Emergency. Dave, what's up? You okay? Ben, not really. I need somewhere to stay. Just for a bit. Dave, you want me to come get you? Ben hesitated. What would he say? What could he tell his best friend that would make sense? Ben, not yet. I'll figure it out. He put the phone down, hands shaking. In the morning, Ben woke to find Emily already up, making coffee. She slid a mug across the counter without meeting his eyes. Don't try anything stupid today, she said quietly. He stared at her, searching for the woman he used to love. There was nothing left of her in the cold line of her jaw, the clipped tone of her voice. He realized that somewhere along the way, Emily had made a choice: survival over sentiment, control over connection. Ben spent the day wandering the city, desperate for escape. Every time his phone buzzed, his pulse spiked. Was it Emily? Was it someone else? Someone who'd seen something online? He became paranoid, imagining eyes on him everywhere. A city of strangers who all knew his secrets. At lunchtime, he ducked into a library, finding a seat in the quietest corner he could find. He opened his laptop, searching for advice, for stories of people who'd escaped similar situations. Most advice was bleak. Get legal help. Go to the police. Change your number. Document everything. But even the stories with happy endings were scarred by damage, by fear, by the knowledge that once something was online, it could never truly disappear. Ben started to make copies of everything. He forwarded emails to a private address, took screenshots of Emily's threats, backed up his own phone. He deleted old accounts, changed passwords, wiped as much of himself off the internet as he could. He even wrote a letter to his mother, sealed and hidden in his suitcase, just in case things went bad. When he returned home, Emily was filming in the living room, her voice drifting through the door. He slipped into the bedroom, gathering a few clothes, his laptop, his backup drive. He wondered if Emily would notice if he just vanished, or if she'd chase him, follow through on her threats. He sat on the edge of the bed, breathing shallowly. He couldn't keep living like this. He needed help. That night, as Emily slept, Ben finally called Dave. Man, you sound terrible, Dave said, concern clear in his voice. Ben's voice broke. I think I'm in trouble. Dave was silent for a beat. Is she hurting you? Not like that. She's threatening to ruin me. If I leave, she says she'll post private stuff, stuff I can't take back. Dave whistled low. That's messed up, man. You need to get out. We'll figure it out. I can call a lawyer, maybe even the cops. Ben shook his head, tears stinging his eyes. She's smart, Dave. She won't leave a trace. I can't prove anything. And if I push her, it could get worse. Dave exhaled. Okay, listen, pack a bag. Send me what you have. I'll hang on to it just in case. And Ben, don't let her see you're scared. You hear me? Don't give her that power. Ben managed a shaky laugh. Easier said than done. The next morning, Ben made a copy of his files and left them in a locker at the train station, sending Dave the code. He felt a flicker of relief, the first in weeks. Emily seemed to sense the change. She watched him over breakfast, eyes narrow. What are you smiling about? She demanded. Nothing, Ben lied. Just tired of fighting. She stared at him, trying to read his thoughts. Then she smiled, sweet as sugar. Good. Because I'd hate for things to get ugly. Ben forced himself to meet her gaze. You already made them ugly, Emily. You just don't want to admit it. She laughed, low and cold. Keep pushing, Benny. See what happens. Ben left for work, his heart pounding. But this time, he had a plan. He wasn't powerless anymore. He'd seen the truth behind the mask. Now, it was just a question of who would break first. That night, a thunderstorm rolled over the city, rattling the windows and shaking the old pipes in their building. Ben watched the rain from the couch, Emily's laughter echoing from her studio. The air crackled with energy, a storm brewing both inside and out. He thought about all the ways this could end. Badly, quietly, explosively. He thought about leaving, about running. But most of all, he thought about surviving. He realized then that the only way out was through. He had to confront her, not just with words, but with action. He had to show her that she didn't own him, that he was willing to fight for his own freedom, even if it meant risking everything. As the rain hammered the glass, Ben made a silent promise to himself. He would not be her victim. Not anymore. Chapter 5. Descent. Ben didn't remember falling asleep, only waking with a start in the small hours before dawn, heart pounding, a cold sweat breaking on his skin. For a moment, he thought he'd dreamed it all. Emily's mask, her threats, the storm that shook their apartment. But then he heard the faint, unmistakable sound of Emily's voice from her studio corner, low and sultry, filtering through the half-open bedroom door. He lay in bed, staring up at the ceiling, counting the seconds between her words. Each syllable echoed in his head, a cruel reminder that his life wasn't private anymore, that the world he'd built with her had been nothing but a stage. He tried to focus on something normal, work, breakfast, the city's morning rituals, but each task felt mechanical. He forgot to shave, left his coffee to grow cold, buttoned his shirt wrong. When he caught his reflection in the hallway mirror, he barely recognized the person looking back. Hollow-eyed, stubble growing, shoulders slumped like a man twice his age. He went to work, but the office felt like an alien world. He answered questions wrong in meetings. He snapped at a coworker who asked if he was okay. He watched the clock, wishing every minute would pass faster so he could get away, even if away meant returning to the hell he now called home. At lunch, he sat in the break room alone, scrolling through his phone. He checked every app, every message, afraid something new would appear. A leak, a taunt, another threat. His hands shook as he checked Emily's public accounts. She had posted another photo that morning, all innocence and soft light. A carefully staged scene. Tea on the windowsill. A book he knew she'd never read. A caption about embracing self-love. There was no hint of the Emily he knew, no trace of the woman who held him hostage behind a wall of secrets. He called Dave, desperate for a voice that didn't judge, that could anchor him to reality. "Talk to me, man," Dave said, sounding more awake than usual. "How bad is it?" Ben's voice cracked. "I don't know. She's everywhere, Dave. I can't move without feeling like I'm being watched." "Did you do what I said? Back up your stuff, send it to me?"
"Yeah," Ben whispered. "It's safe."
"Good. Next step is figuring out where you'll go. Can you come here tonight?"
"I can't," Ben said, voice trembling. "She'll know. She watches everything I do. If I just disappear, she'll send it all out."
Dave cursed softly. "She's got you by the balls, huh?" Ben let out a hollow laugh.
"Yeah, and she knows it."
Dave was quiet for a long time. "Listen, you can't do this alone. Find someone, anyone, who'll help you. A lawyer, a support group, the cops, even HR at work if you have to. But get someone in your corner, Ben. You don't have to fight her by yourself."
Ben nodded, eyes stinging.
"Thanks, Dave. I'll try." He hung up, staring at the phone until the screen went dark. He wished there was a button he could press to erase the past year, to wake up next to someone else, someone safe. He left work early, faking illness, and rode the train home with a pounding heart. He kept his eyes down, afraid of running into someone who might know, who might have seen something online. He watched the city rush past, the blur of strangers, the dizzying freedom of people who didn't know his secrets. At his stop, he hesitated on the platform, the winter air biting at his face. For a moment, he considered just walking away, leaving everything behind, disappearing into the city. But the fear of what Emily could do, the images she could send, the humiliation she could unleash, kept him rooted to the ground. He took the stairs two at a time, unlocked the apartment door, and stepped inside.
The apartment was quiet, save for the hum of Emily's ring light in the other room. She was filming again, her voice drifting down the hallway, seductive and bright. Ben tried not to listen, but he couldn't block it out. It was everywhere, on her lips, in the walls, in his head. He made dinner for himself, barely tasting the food. He washed dishes with trembling hands, glancing over his shoulder every few seconds, sure he'd find Emily standing behind him, phone in hand, recording. At one point she emerged, dressed in a silk robe, her makeup perfect. She moved through the room with confidence, her gaze cool and appraising. "Everything okay?" she asked, her tone laced with sarcasm. "Fine," Ben muttered, not meeting her eyes. She lingered, studying him. "You seem tense. You should relax. Want to watch a movie later?" Ben shook his head. "I'm tired." Emily shrugged, turning away. "Suit yourself." He watched her disappear into her studio again, the door clicking shut. He waited until he heard the music playing, then crept down the hall, pressing his ear to the door. Inside, he could hear her speaking, laughing, teasing, promising her viewers everything and nothing at once. He felt sick. That night, Ben tried to sleep on the couch. The storm had passed, but the apartment still felt charged, as if waiting for another blow to fall. He drifted in and out of uneasy dreams, waking at every sound. Sometime after midnight, his phone buzzed, another anonymous number. He opened the message with dread. "Saw your face in the background, man. Nice." He stared at the words, panic building in his chest. Had he walked into a shot? Had Emily done it on purpose? He checked her site, scrolling through the latest video. In the last few seconds, as Emily signed off, he saw himself in the mirror behind her. Rumpled, hollow-eyed, just a shape moving through the background. His breath came in short gasps. He texted Dave. "Ben, she got me on camera. People are messaging me. Dave, you need to get out now." "Ben, she'll destroy me." "Dave, she already is." Ben put the phone down, numb. He wondered if this was how it felt to drown. Slow at first, then all at once. He got up, pacing the apartment. He checked locks, windows, his backup drive. He packed a small bag, just in case, and hid it under the couch. He opened his laptop, searching for answers. He read about people who had escaped abusive relationships, who had rebuilt their lives from nothing. Most had scars, some never recovered, but a few had survived. He clung to those stories, repeating their mantras in his head. "You are not alone. You are not what she says you are. You can get out." The days blurred together. Ben lived in a cycle of fear and exhaustion. Emily's threats grew more pointed, passing comments about his family, about his job, about things only he and she knew. "Would be a shame if your mum saw those texts," she said one morning, sipping her coffee. Ben's hands shook. "Leave her out of this." Emily smiled. "Depends on you." He went to work, always on edge, afraid of what he might find in his inbox. He changed passwords, deleted accounts, tried to erase his digital presence, but the internet had a memory longer than any human's. One afternoon, his boss called him into her office. "You seem distracted, Ben," she said gently. "Is everything all right?" He forced a smile. "Just some personal stuff. I'll get through it." She nodded, but her eyes lingered on him as he left. He wondered if she'd heard something, seen something, if the cracks in his facade were visible to everyone. That night, he called a lawyer, using a payphone 3 blocks from the apartment. He explained the situation in halting sentences, afraid to say too much. "She's threatening to post private things," he whispered. "Stuff that could ruin me. Is there anything I can do?" The lawyer sighed. "If you have evidence, texts, emails, recordings, we can send a cease and desist, maybe get a restraining order. But if she's smart, she'll use anonymous accounts. The law's catching up, but it's not perfect." "Will it stop her?" Ben asked, desperate. "It might slow her down, or it might make her angrier. You have to be careful." Ben hung up, feeling more alone than ever. Emily grew bolder. She started leaving her laptop open, videos playing on loop, as if daring Ben to watch. Sometimes she'd call him over, her voice dripping with mock affection. "Want to see what pays the bills?" she'd purr, clicking through folders. "People pay good money for this, you know." He shook his head, retreating to the bathroom, locking the door. He ran the shower until the mirror fogged up, hoping the steam would wash away the shame. One night, she invited him to join her on camera. "You could make a fortune," she whispered, trailing her fingers along his arm. "People love couples. I could teach you." Ben recoiled, disgusted. "Number never." Emily's face hardened. "Your loss. Some people would kill for the chance." He locked himself in the bedroom, the walls closing in. He heard her laughter from the other room, wild and triumphant. He started seeing a therapist, paying in cash, using a false name. He explained as much as he dared, talking around the truth, describing his partner's controlling behavior, her threats, his fear. "You're in a dangerous situation," the therapist said gently. "It's not just emotional abuse. It's digital blackmail. You need to make a plan. Reach out to your support network. Document everything." Ben nodded, feeling the first glimmer of hope. Someone believed him. Someone saw the truth. He started keeping a journal, writing down everything Emily did, every threat, every message, every slip of the mask. He hid the notebook at work, afraid she'd find it. He told Dave everything, giving him copies of the files, the journal, the lawyer's number. He slept with one eye open, a knife under his pillow. He trusted no one but himself. One morning, Emily found him packing his bag. "Going somewhere?" she asked, voice sharp. Ben met her gaze, steady for the first time in weeks. "I have to go. I can't live like this anymore." She smiled, cold and knowing. "You really think you can run? You think I won't find you?" Ben's voice shook, but he held his ground. "I have backups. If you send anything, if you hurt me or my family, it all goes public. Every secret, every client, every message." Emily's smile faded. For the first time, Ben saw fear in her eyes. She tried to recover, her tone mocking. "You're bluffing." "Try me," Ben said quietly. They stared at each other for a long moment. Then Emily turned away, slamming the bedroom door behind her. Ben finished packing, heart racing. He left the apartment, locking the door behind him. He felt lighter than he had in months, but the fear lingered, crawling along his skin. He walked to the train station, calling Dave. "I'm out," he said, voice shaking with relief and terror. "Good. Come here. We'll keep you safe." Ben boarded the train, watching the city slip away. He knew the fight wasn't over, that Emily could strike at any moment, but for the first time, he had hope. He was not alone. At Dave's apartment, Ben collapsed on the couch, exhausted. Dave handed him a beer, clapping him on the shoulder. "You did the right thing, man. She's not your problem anymore." Ben nodded, staring at the ceiling. For the first time in months, he slept without fear. But he knew deep down that Emily's reach was long and that the descent might not be over yet. Chapter 6. The Breaking Point. Ben woke up at Dave's apartment, the pale morning light creeping over the windowsill, the air cool and unfamiliar. For a few seconds, he didn't know where he was. But then, the sounds of the city outside, the feel of the worn couch beneath him, and the faint scent of Dave's laundry soap reminded him. He was finally gone from Emily's grip. For the first time in weeks, his heart wasn't racing the instant his eyes opened. He sat up slowly, stretching, and glanced at his phone. No new threats, no new messages from Emily, at least not yet. Dave had left early for work, but he'd written a note. "Call me if you need anything. Beer in the fridge. Don't open the bottom drawer, seriously." Ben cracked a tired smile, appreciating the normalcy. He made coffee, tried to eat a bowl of cereal, then sat at the small kitchen table, scrolling through emails. The first few were spam and bills, but buried in the middle was a short message from his boss. "Let's talk when you get back. Hope you're okay." Ben sighed. The weight of the last few months pressed down on him. He was safe, for now. But his job, his reputation, was dangling by a thread. He started making a list, like the therapist had taught him. change passwords, alert the bank, save evidence to the cloud, call HR, reach out to Mom. He stopped at number 5, fingers hovering. What could he say? The shame was too much, and he pictured her face, worried, confused, disappointed. Not yet, he told himself. Maybe never. Later that morning, Ben walked to a nearby park, the cold air bracing. He sat on a bench, watching children play, joggers passing by, dog walkers laughing with their pets. Life was happening all around him, messy, ordinary, and untouched by his chaos. He wanted to feel hope, but anxiety gnawed at him. He couldn't shake the feeling that Emily was still out there, watching, waiting for a moment of weakness. He checked his phone again. Still nothing. He called the lawyer, arranging for an in-person consultation. He left a message for his therapist, asking for an extra session. He tried to focus on these small victories, each a step away from Emily and back toward himself. When he returned to Dave's place, there was an envelope slid under the door. At first, he thought it was junk mail, but his name was scrawled across the front in looping letters he recognized all too well. He opened it with trembling hands. Inside was a single sheet of paper and a USB drive taped to the top. The note read, "Run all you want. I can reach you anywhere. Let's see how fast your friends and family run when they know the real you. E." Ben's stomach twisted. He turned the USB drive over in his hands, fighting the urge to snap it in half. Instead, he tucked it into a drawer, then sat at the table, head in his hands. His phone buzzed, new message from an unknown number. "You think you're safe? I know where you are." Ben's hands shook as he texted Dave. "Ben, she found me. She left something at the door. Dave, I'm coming home. Don't touch anything." Ben locked the door, heart pounding. He double-checked the windows, pulled the curtains tight. He paced the small apartment, feeling the walls close in. When Dave arrived, he picked up the envelope, examining it. "No return address, no prints. She's careful. They agreed not to plug in the USB, not yet." Ben made a backup copy with a secure laptop, just in case, and stored the original in a safe place. "Don't let her scare you," Dave said, his tone fierce. "She wants to control you. You're out. Don't give her the satisfaction." Ben nodded, trying to believe it. But Emily was relentless. The next day, Ben started receiving emails from burner accounts, each one containing screenshots of old messages, some of the photos he'd sent, even a short audio clip of him and Emily laughing in bed. Some of the files were clearly doctored, edited to make him look worse than he was. Others were real, moments he barely remembered, private jokes twisted into threats. Each message ended with the same line, "You leave, you pay." Ben felt the fear returning, suffocating and thick. He blocked each address, forwarded everything to his lawyer, and started a new journal, a detailed, time-stamped log of every incident, every threat, every intrusion. His therapist called, voice calm and steady. "You're experiencing digital stalking, Ben. It's a form of abuse. You're doing the right thing by documenting everything. Remember, she wants you scared and isolated. That's how she wins. Lean on your friends. Stay in public places. Don't let her force you back into silence." Ben nodded, tears pricking his eyes. "I feel like I can't breathe sometimes. Like I'm never really alone." "You are not powerless," the therapist assured him. "You've already done the hardest part. You left. Now you build a new routine. Every day you stay away from her is a victory." He tried to follow the advice. He met Dave's friends for drinks, watched movies, cooked meals with Dave's girlfriend, Mara. Each act of normalcy felt like reclaiming a piece of himself. But Emily's presence hovered, an invisible shadow, a threat in every corner. One night, Mara found him sitting on the fire escape, staring at the city lights. "Want to talk about it?" she asked, voice gentle. Ben shook his head. "I'm just tired. I keep waiting for the next shoe to drop." Mara sat beside him, pulling her knees to her chest. "You know, Dave told me a little. About Emily. About what she did. You're not the first person she's hurt, are you?" Ben looked at her, surprised. "What do you mean?" "She's got a reputation. Dave's cousin dated her before you. Didn't end well. Different tactics, but same pattern. Seduction, secrets, threats, control. He moved back to his hometown after she was done with him. Never talks about her. Ben let out a shaky breath. Why didn't anyone warn me? Mara gave him a sad smile. You wouldn't have believed us. No one ever does, until it's too late. Ben nodded, grateful for the truth, even if it stung. The following week, Ben's boss called. We need to meet. Something's come up. Ben's heart dropped. He went to the office, dread coiling in his gut. In her office, his boss closed the door, her expression grave. I received some troubling emails this morning. Anonymous sender, screenshots, personal messages, claims about your conduct. I don't believe them, but I need to ask, are you okay? Ben stared at the desk, fighting the urge to run. It's my ex. She's harassing me. She's threatened to release personal information if I don't go back. His boss listened, nodding slowly. I appreciate your honesty. We'll forward everything to HR and IT security. If this escalates, we'll support you. Take some time off if you need it. Ben left the meeting shaken, but relieved to have told someone. He emailed his lawyer, attaching the screenshots. He called his mother, voice trembling as he confessed the broad strokes. I got involved with someone dangerous. She's threatening me. I might need to disappear for a while. She cried, begged him to come home, but Ben knew he couldn't. Not yet. Emily's campaign continued. Ben began seeing strange posts online, comments under his name, fake profiles with his photo, even threads on anonymous message boards speculating about his secret life. He knew some people would believe the lies, that others would share them just for the drama. His therapist reminded him, "Shame grows in silence. You don't have to hide." He reached out to an online support group for victims of revenge porn and digital abuse. Their stories were harrowing, but their support was fierce. He learned new ways to protect himself, to document everything, to push back legally. Ben realized, slowly, that the shame was not his to carry. He was the survivor, not the perpetrator. One night Emily called. He let it go to voicemail, but the sound of her voice made his skin crawl. You can't erase me, Ben. You can't run forever. If I go down, you go down. Remember that. He forwarded the message to his lawyer, then blocked the number. Dave found him in the kitchen, hands shaking as he poured a glass of water. Ben, you're doing everything right, Dave said quietly. Don't let her win. Don't let her make you feel small. Ben nodded, swallowing hard. I just want my life back. I want her out of my head. She'll get bored eventually, Dave said. They always do. She'll move on to someone else. The words were meant to comfort, but Ben felt only sadness. He thought of the next person who'd fall for her lies, the next life she'd unravel. The breaking point came a few days later. Ben received a message from his mother. Who is this woman emailing me about you? Should I be worried? Ben's heart broke. He called her immediately, explaining as best he could, telling her to ignore everything, to block the address. I'm so sorry, Mom, he whispered. I never wanted you to be involved. Her voice was shaky but strong. I don't care what she says. I love you. You're my son. Ben hung up, wiping his eyes. He went to the park, standing under the wide, empty sky, breathing deeply. He realized he couldn't control Emily, couldn't control what she did or who she hurt, but he could control how he responded. He could be honest, be vigilant, and refuse to let her poison any more of his life. He met with his lawyer, preparing formal complaints and evidence for the police. He contacted every site where she had posted, asking for removals, sending legal notices. Some complied, some ignored him, but the act of fighting back gave him strength. He reached out to his boss again, to HR, to everyone in his life who mattered. He told the truth, calmly and without shame. Emily's power, he realized, was rooted in secrecy and fear. Every time he refused to be silent, she lost a little more control. Late one night, Dave found Ben sitting at the kitchen table, exhausted, but lighter than he'd been in months. How you feeling? Dave asked, handing him a beer. Ben managed a smile. Better. Not done yet, but better. Good, Dave said. You've come a long way, man. Ben looked out at the city, the lights glowing against the darkness. I just want to move forward, to feel free again. He knew it wouldn't happen overnight. Emily might never stop entirely. But he wasn't her victim anymore. He was his own man again. Scarred, but unbroken. Tomorrow he'd wake up and fight again. But for tonight, he was at peace. Chapter 7. Escape. The air was still the morning Ben walked into the courthouse, papers in hand, shoulders square. For the first time in months, he wasn't looking over his shoulder. He wore a charcoal blazer borrowed from Dave, and though his hands trembled, his eyes held something they hadn't in a long time. Resolve. His lawyer met him on the front steps, clipboard tucked under one arm, her expression calm and focused. You're doing the right thing, she said. We'll file for a protective order. Between the evidence you've provided and the timeline, you have a solid case. Ben nodded. What happens next? We put the courts in motion. That means she gets served. She'll have to stop all contact, direct or indirect. If she retaliates, it becomes criminal. Ben exhaled slowly. I'm ready. But part of him wasn't sure. He still remembered the way Emily could turn anything into a trap, how she could cry on command, twist every story, make herself look like the victim. But he had something stronger now. Proof. Screenshots. Voicemails. Witnesses. And the courage to say no. They walked into the building together. Ben's jaw tightened when he signed the forms. His name beside hers on the official complaint made it all feel real in a way it hadn't before. There it was, in black and white. Digital harassment, threats, revenge pornography, psychological abuse. He walked out feeling like he'd dropped 100 pounds. That afternoon, Ben sat on a bench outside the city library, sipping lukewarm coffee, his phone resting in his lap. He stared at the screen, half expecting it to light up with another message from Emily, another reminder that she was always just a click away. But the screen stayed dark. Dave joined him 20 minutes later, holding 2 hot dogs and 2 beers in a paper tray. Thought you'd need a reward, he said, sitting beside Ben. You really did it, huh? Ben took the beer, nodding. Yeah, I did. I'm proud of you. Ben smiled, grateful. I'm not sure if it's over, but it feels like the tide's turning. Dave handed him one of the hot dogs. So what's next? Ben looked up at the skyline. I start over. Where? I've been thinking about that, Ben said. Maybe somewhere quiet, coastal. Maybe a small town. I want a life without noise. Dave nodded. You'll make it work. But if she comes back... She won't, Ben interrupted, his voice steadier than he expected. And if she does, I'll be ready this time. 2 days later, Emily was served. The process server said she didn't flinch. She read the papers slowly, her expression unreadable, then simply closed the door. That was it. No rage, no tears, just silence. Ben waited for the explosion, the backlash. He braced for it. But it didn't come. Instead, something else happened. The anonymous messages stopped. Her burner accounts disappeared. The photos, the videos, the posts pretending to be him, vanished. Her main profile on her cam platform was deleted. Just like that, she was gone. At first, Ben didn't believe it. He kept checking every day. He looked for signs, Reddit threads, gossip boards, mutual follows, but it was as if she had vanished into digital smoke. She's cutting bait, his lawyer explained. When abusers lose control, they do one of 2 things, lash out or move on. You took away her leverage. You stopped playing. That makes you less useful to her. But why stop now? Ben asked. Because you showed her you'd fight back. She can't win the same way. Ben let that sink in. It didn't feel like a victory. It felt like waking up from a long, disorienting fever dream. There was no celebration, no dramatic ending, just quiet, and the space to heal. Ben moved out of Dave's apartment 2 weeks later. He found a small place near the coast, an old one-bedroom with creaky floors and a balcony that overlooked a slow-moving river. The town was quiet, filled with bookstores, bike trails, and an old movie theater that still played classics every Friday. He started volunteering at the community center, helping seniors learn how to use email and smartphones. He laughed at the irony. Teaching people how to engage online while still learning how to protect himself, his therapist reminded him that trauma doesn't always end with the threat. You've escaped, Ben, but your brain needs time to catch up. Give yourself permission to feel safe again. He kept writing in his journal. He documented everything he'd learned about control, manipulation, trauma bonding, about how charm can be a weapon and how silence can be a trap. He considered writing a book or starting a podcast, not about Emily, but about survival, about what it means to lose yourself and fight your way back. But for now, he just kept walking, kept breathing, kept choosing peace. One afternoon, he received a message from a stranger. It was a woman named Anna. "I saw your name on a forum," the message read. "I think I dated her before you. She hurt me too. I just wanted to say, I'm glad you made it out." Ben stared at the message, stunned. He wrote back carefully, opening a quiet dialogue. They traded stories over the next few days, different versions of the same monster. Anna's experience had been shorter, but just as damaging. Emily had used similar tactics. Flattery, secrets, control, humiliation. When Anna tried to leave, Emily made vague threats. But Anna ghosted her, left the state, and never looked back. Ben felt a strange comfort in their shared pain. "We weren't crazy," Anna said in one message. "We were groomed, and when you're in it, it feels like love." Ben typed a response, then paused. "I thought I could fix her. I thought love could outweigh the darkness." Anna replied simply, "Some people don't want to be saved. They want power, and they know how to wear your weakness like armor." That night, Ben sat on the balcony, watching the sky turn pink and orange. He didn't cry. He didn't scream. He just sat with it. Grief, not for Emily, but for the man he'd been before her, the one who believed trust was enough. Months passed. Ben's life became simpler, smaller, and more his own. He adopted a dog, started cooking again, joined a small book club. He reached out to his mother more often, apologized for the silence. She forgave him, of course. Moms always did. He changed his phone number, wiped old accounts, deleted years of stored messages and photos, not out of fear, but as an act of release. Emily never resurfaced. Her last known activity online was the day after the restraining order. After that, radio silence. No new content, no mentions. She'd gone underground or reinvented herself with a new name. He hoped whoever met her next would see through the performance, but he knew many wouldn't. He didn't need revenge, he didn't need closure. What he had was better, peace, and boundaries. On the anniversary of the day he left, Ben walked the coast alone. He stood at the edge of the cliffs, the ocean roaring beneath him. He breathed deeply, filling his lungs with salt and wind. He pulled out his phone, opened a fresh note, and began to write. "I was manipulated, humiliated, blackmailed, and I survived. Not because I'm brave, but because I refused to disappear, because I refused to believe that fear had to be permanent." He closed the note, saved it, and smiled. Behind him, the world was loud, but ahead, the future was open, and this time, no one else would write his story.